You're listening to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is June 17th, 7:31 Central Time. Joining me in studio this morning, Brandon Johnson and Joyce Karaoke. They're life skills facilitators in community services with Lutheran Family and Children's Services of Missouri. And I'm dying to know what a life skills facilitator is. Brandon, welcome to His Time. Great to have you here this morning. Joyce, welcome. Glad to have you here this morning.
Thank you.
Well, share with me, what is a life skills facilitator? We'll start with Brandon and Joyce. You can chime in as well.
Alrighty.
Okay. Good morning. So, a life skills facilitator in the community services department at Lutheran. What we do is we work with youth. And we try to help youth build their emotional regulation skills, build conflict resolution skills, learn how to manage anger, learn how to manage anxiety, and hopefully that ultimately leads to better academic outcomes and youth violence prevention.
Very good. Very good. Joyce, do you want to add anything to that?
Well, I would say that a life skills facilitator is that person who is there as a guide and a helper for the youth. We teach life skills, and life skills are basically psychosocial competencies that help children adapt to the changing world and whatever issues that are surrounding them. So as Brendan said, we are gearing towards making them know how to do, to be good leaders, to resolve conflict without having to be violent or, because we see a lot of that with, kids who are especially in at-risk areas. So that's what we do, and we really enjoy it.
Well, very good. At what point in life is it important to start developing these skills, to develop these competencies, as you were talking about, these life skills that are important for the rest of life?
Right. Well, I think probably I can start. Research has shown that it's important to start them as early as possible. For us, so with Lutheran, we start from fourth grade. And so with that, it kind of helps build a foundation to helping them build those skills way early in life. A long time ago, before they, I think, did the research, they were thinking that these life skills need to be done when kids are in high school. But as they realized that we
that's
need
too late.
way down below to start with the life skills. And so that's how we ended up starting from way below.
So definitely the earlier years. How young are some of the students that you work with, Brandon?
We start as early in the community services division, I should say. We start as early as the third grade, third and fourth grade. In some of our programs, we occasionally have youth that are as young as five or six years old.
So how do you teach these things like, you know, self-regulation? How do you teach these things? It's not just like something you can give a workbook and automatically someone learns from a few worksheets how to regulate their emotions.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a little bit different than teaching math.
Yeah.
So actually, Andy, there are workbooks that go along with curriculums that we have to help youth develop the skills and just kind of learn about situations. But we, what we thrive on is what I call, and I think what most people call, teachable moments. So, you know, when you have a room full of youth, there are plenty of conflicts that arise. Plenty of opportunities to help kids say, you know, this is what happened, and maybe this is what we could have done differently. And it's amazing they actually learn to replicate what you're showing them. And then you help build a bridge so that they're able to do that when they're not in the life skills groups.
What have you learned from those you serve?
Well, I was going to add that the other way that we do teach the kids is through like them being interactive. So we have to ask the kids to kind of do something or ask them questions so that they can give us the answers. And then the other way that we do teach is by modeling the behavior that we need to see in class. So we don't, like most of the time, some kids at their homes, they're used to screaming and shouting. And so when they come, that they don't listen to quiet instructions. They want somebody who's shouting at them so that they can listen. So we model a different way of communicating to people. And so when we start that at a very young age, then it really helps and say, oh, Miss Joyce doesn't do this in class. So I think this is the right way to do it. But my mom does this. So we kind of talk about that, and creating that rapport kind of helps you engage the kids in a way that you will really get good results.
Isn't it interesting that quite often our communication style has so much to do with our family of origin?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I hadn't thought about that, you know, what, too much. But, you know, when a child grows up in a home where the communication style is loud.
Right.
Uh-huh. Loud and stern or aggressive.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, in their minds, that's normal.
That's normal, yes.
Yeah, that's their everyday normal for them. And mm-hmm. so, as you said, to model speaking in a soft tone.
Right. Yeah. You don't have to scream for me to hear you. I can hear you right good right here. So just talk to me in a nice way. Sometimes I'm like, wait, we're not talking in that tone. Mm-hmm. Or they talk with their body language in not a nice way. Mm-hmm. So we ask them to use words to express how you're feeling. So, and we see that especially with young kids who do not really, haven't been seen that molding at home, mm-hmm. they become obnoxious and sometimes it's really difficult, but you have to really see beyond what the bad behavior.
Sure. You have to see beyond the moment and see the big picture.
That's true. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I think we were getting ready to talk about what are some of the things that you've learned in this environment, in serving in community services. Brandon?
I think that I would say patience is a huge thing that I've learned. It's, as we're talking about modeling what is appropriate and modeling how to be a good citizen and to get along with your peers, it's kind of, we have to begin with the end in mind, mm-hmm. and understand that it's going to take some time for the youth to develop those skills and to show grace in places where they may not be able to demonstrate those skills at first. Mm-hmm. And so it has been an opportunity for me to develop a lot of patience. And it can also be a challenge if you're in a room full of youth and you're having a difficult time keeping them on task. You kind of, there's kind of a natural tendency to want to raise your voice over the noise. So it's an opportunity to remind yourself to demonstrate what you're trying to teach.
That's true.
With how does change impact the very things that you're teaching? For example, school is out.
Right.
School's out for most students, and, you know, we're on summer break now for most students. How do changes like this play a role in the very things that you teach as life skills facilitators?
Now, thinking about that is like a lot of things to factor in. Mm-hmm. One, we are not so sure if the same thing we've been teaching is going to be taught at home, mm-hmm. so that we can have a consistency. So that's a very big dynamic that they will be grappling with during the summer break. So definitely I would say there is a huge change to that. Mm-hmm. And we hope and pray that by the time they're coming back, they will still remember the skills that we've been teaching them and how they model that. And if we can, so we normally encourage them that when you go for summer break, mm-hmm. you know, you're going for summer break. Let's keep on practicing this. Let's keep on practicing communication skills. Let's keep practicing how to resolve anger or conflict, how to take some time back and just relax and chill out and count to 10. And, you know, if you're really angry. So mm-hmm. we definitely do think it's a very big change. And sometimes we just hope that whatever we have taught has really actually rooted, mm-hmm. the seed that we have planted has rooted in their brain so that they can practice that.
Yeah, I have to say, you know, people know that we work primarily in schools, although we have a few sites that are in, you know, community centers. And so people ask, well, what do you do all summer long when the kids are out of school?
Right.
Well, when the kids are out of school, that's where our job really comes into play more, because
sure.
we have more time to work with them. And mm-hmm. and summers are huge for kids in terms of development, academically, socially, spiritually. And so one of the major ways that it changes is we get the opportunity to spend more time with our kids that are in the summer programs. And we get to be a little more creative because there's more time to fill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What are some of the perhaps challenges that children face going from a school year to the less structured summer break that children or families might face?
You know, there's over 100 years of research around kind of academic losses that can take place over the summer, mm-hmm. social losses that can take place over the summer. And so one of the major things that happens is kids stop practicing the skills that they've been learning throughout the school year. Mm-hmm. You know, the school year kind of brings a natural cadence. You know, you fall into a routine and they kind of know what's expected of them. But oftentimes when you're in the summer break, it's not likely that a student is going to pick up a math book and it's, you know, the middle of July.
Right.
And kind of need some encouragement to do that. It's the same way with reading and the mm-hmm. same way with social skills and the same way with building spiritually. Some encouragement to help youth remember that there are skills that they're still building that are going to carry over. Even though they've maybe graduated from one grade level, mm-hmm. they've not graduated from learning for the rest of their lives, and to remember to continue.
Summer can be a great time for creativity and for relaxing and enjoyment. As you said, we never stop learning. Even when we graduate, when we think we're done with school, we never stop learning. We always have something to learn.
Right.
And I'm glad that that you all are sharing that with students. We need to take a quick break. Today we're talking with Brandon Johnson and Joyce Kariuki. They're life skills facilitators with Community Services at Lutheran and Family Children's Services of Missouri. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.
God's word is our great heritage and shall be ours forever. To spread its light from age to age shall be our chief endeavor. I'm William Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, inviting you to be sure and join us as we romp through chapter after chapter of the Sacred Scriptures, rejoicing in the salvation that's ours in Jesus Christ. Join us.
Thy Strong Word, weekday mornings at 11 on Worldwide KFUO. Underwritten by Lutheran Heritage Foundation, lhfmissions.org.
Worldwide KFUO is the most trusted place for sacred music of the church every night. Weeknights after evening prayer, you can hear sacred music on KFUO in St. Louis, streaming online at kfuo.org. Our online stream is in high-quality stereo, so you can hear the difference wherever you listen, on your computer or Wi-Fi radio, and on your smartphone. We're Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news for 90 years.
Reverend Dr. Matthew C. Harrison of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod recently said these words regarding the importance of the work of Concordia Historical Institute.
When you forget your past, you forget the gospel. You become locked into your own little part of time. As you study the past and know the past and know what happened in the past, you see God at work. And you see Christ.
Discover your Lutheran history at ConcordiaHistoricalInstitute.org.
Hi, I'm Pastor Mark Hawkinson. The psalmist wrote, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever." Hey, I invite you to join me this coming Sunday when I'll blend God's precious word with music that exemplifies a love that endures for you and for me. That's Jubilation Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. on KFUO.
You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today are friends from Lutheran Family and Children's Services. We have Brandon Heath and Joyce Kariuki. They're life skills facilitators in community services with Lutheran Family and Children's Services. Before we went to break, we were talking about summer break and some of the challenges it may present. While it's certainly a fun time for many of us, for some, it may not be as fun. What are some of the challenges that children might face, or who are the children who might face some difficulty during summers? Joyce?
I think some of the children that might face difficulties over the summer is kids that don't have resources.
Mm-hmm.
And we see that during the school year, sometimes we have to provide a certain, rental assistance, utility assistance, sometimes even clothing and food. So if they're not, for 3 months, they're out of school, mm-hmm. then our concern is, I hope that they know that there is always help at Lutheran. And so we endeavor to make sure that we give them our contacts and tell them if there's any help that we can give them, they need to call us. So my greatest concern is that they will not get the services or just because they are out. Beyond that, the other one that I feel concerned about and the challenge is their parents and how engaged they will be over the summer. So sometimes their parents, probably they don't know how to read or they don't really care about education. And so our biggest concern is who is going to help them engage into do learning while they're out of school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Brandon, anything to add to that?
Sure. I think it's important to note that it's not only kids that don't have resources that experience some of those losses during the summer, but it's all kids. Mm-hmm. You know, the research shows that all kids experience some academic and social losses over the summer if they're not actively engaged in something that keeps them developing.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Kids might, if they're in a setting where they're not around friends once school is out, that they've become very close to friends or their teacher or other school staff during the school year, they may certainly feel some loss or the absence of those people in their daily lives may be difficult for them to cope with. What can parents do to help them deal with those changes, that transition of, or the, you know, not being around friends or a teacher, other school staff that they see on a regular daily basis?
Yeah, there are a lot of resources. It seems like there are more and more resources to help keep kids engaged over the summer. And one of the things that parents can do is go online and conduct a simple Google search of things to do, activities for youth to do over the summer break, and get kids enrolled in a camp or help them find a hobby that they can work on through the summer to kind of keep them engaged that way. Helping kids, especially younger kids, with planning play dates is something that can really help. You know, it's difficult usually for youth to take that step of introducing themselves to someone, meeting new people, and they know that when they come back after the summer break, there's going to be lots of new faces, especially if they're transitioning to a new school. And so kind of helping them feel more comfortable with that by making sure that they're practicing it throughout the summer can help tremendously when they start back to school at the beginning of the year.
And you said the dreaded word, start back to school.
Yeah.
How can parents help kids make that transition from this summer where things might not be as structured to, you know, maybe bedtimes are different, eating habits are different during the summer. Mm-hmm. How do we make that transition? You know, we're having fun swimming and relaxing maybe and enjoying summer, staying up late because it's, you know, the daylight is longer during the summer and we're getting to the end of August or maybe mid to early August. It's time to start thinking about school again. How do we make that transition back to those structured schedules, Joyce?
Okay, so certain things, I think the key word here is being aware of the times, the differences, and all that. So when we are approaching towards school year beginning, I think it's very important for the parent to start reminding the child that, hey, you know, we're going to be going back to school. So with that verbal reminder, it's very helpful for the brain to adapt to, like, oh my gosh, I'm going back to school in August or September. And then try to change their schedule, their sleeping schedule, and say, okay, fine, in 2 weeks or 3 weeks, you'll be going back. So let's start sleeping like the normal time when during the school days. It might not be fun for the kids, but it will be helpful
for the
parents. But it will be very helpful in the long run because you will not be having crabby kids in the morning because they don't want to wake up. And the other thing is, as you're saying, the eating, again, go back to structured timing so that the kids can, because sometimes the kids don't want to eat in the morning just because they're used to eating at 11 for breakfast. TV again, that's another thing. I'm surprised that kids still watch TV like way late in the night during the school year. So when they're on break, they even watch longer because their parents are like, whatever.
Keeps them quiet.
Yeah. And they don't have to trouble me or bother me. But now when it's coming back, then that structure again has to continue.
Brandon, making that transition from summer back to school schedule.
Absolutely. I agree with Joyce in helping youth, you know, 2 or 3 weeks before the schedule changes into the academic year to settle into some of those basic routines of getting to bed at an earlier time, eating on some sort of schedule. Because when you're in classes, you can't just stop and go have a snack whenever you want to. You have to be engaged.
Right.
And I think that it is, you know, there are some growing pains that go along with that, you know, when they're getting ready to, you know, move into going back to school.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's easier to help kids through those growing pains when you're 2 weeks before school starts, as opposed to doing that when you've got to be up and out the door in the morning at
right.
a certain time.
Yeah.
What about the child that's making a transition, as you said, to a new school or a new level, you know, from going from elementary to middle school? Maybe they're going to be changing classes this year and they've never done that before, have other things that they've never faced before. And they have some anxiety about that and going back to school. How do we help them prepare for that? How can we help them be less anxious? How do we alleviate some of that anxiety about going back?
Yeah, almost. I can assure you, almost all students have some level of anxiety when they're transitioning to a new school. So if they're going from elementary school to a middle school or junior high, or going from a junior high or middle school into a high school setting, or going from high school to college, all youth experience a bit of anxiety around that. And so I think one of the things that can help is if parents are willing to just have conversations with their youth about it. Whether the kids are talking about it or not, they're experiencing some nervousness and anxiety about returning to school or going to a new school. So just having some conversations to talk about maybe some of the myths or things that they're thinking, and sharing some stories about when parents or when mentors were going through the same things themselves can be really helpful, and just assuring them that it's going to be okay. Another thing that can be really helpful in those types of transitions is there's kind of a built-in excitement. Although they are nervous about going to a new school and seeing new people, they're also excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
So capitalizing on that and saying, you know, it's going to be really exciting, kind of highlighting the positive components, getting to participate probably in new activities or new things that a larger school might have to offer.
Mm-hmm. Joyce, anything else?
Well, I would say I think this is also another opportunity where parents can really engage and building that relationship and just letting them know it's okay, honey, you'll be fine. And also the teachers being there and just encouraging them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm very sure that they know that these are some of the challenges that they get with new kids. And I can tell you, as Brendan is saying, it doesn't matter what age, as long as you're transitioning. Because I remember there's a time when I was going for my A-levels and this a British system kind of a deal. And my mom took me to school and I was already a teenager. But I cried that night like never before. But just having friends, people, I didn't know anybody at that school, but people were really nice and they kind of encouraged me. So it also helps just having, you know, just looking for people that you identify with and that can help you through that transition.
Sure. Making those transitions can certainly be challenging. I appreciate that you've pointed out that just having that communication, parent and child communication, and that doesn't mean it has to be a formal, we need to talk sort of conversation. those are important too, I'm sure, at times. But what I hear you saying is this could be conversations in the car. This could be conversations around dinner, around lunch, breakfast. These are conversations that if we try to not make a big deal out of them, then while our kids then won't be as stressed about those conversations, they need to know that that what you're saying is important and what you're hearing is important to to you as well. But if you're stressed about it, then they're going to be stressed about it.
It will be nice when you're going for shopping and saying, oh, what would you like? I'm sure your other kids in the other school will like this. So that's kind of a way of just easing into that conversation and just helping the child.
Back to school shopping. Let's not even think about that. It's still June. We're not going to talk about back to school shopping.
Well, let's just remember that there are tax, what are they called?
Tax holidays.
Tax holidays. And the website, the government website helps a lot with that. And there are so many other opportunities. Like,
sure.
One of the tricks one of my friends tells me is when there's a sale, go for it. Go buy stuff. You will need it later. So if there's a sale going on like right now, I'm like, oh, it's still June. No. Go buy the stuff. Keep them away. And when time for school comes, you'll be like, oh, my goodness, I'm glad I bought this at that time when there was a sale.
We already did it before it got crazy.
Yes.
Well, with just a couple minutes left, I want to also let our listeners know about the services that Lutheran Family and Children's Services offers, especially through community services. We've talked a lot about the youth support that that you do with the education and helping students learn those life skills for regulating emotions and communication as well. Mm-hmm. Other services that that are available through Lutheran Family and Children's Services that you'd like to share with us today with just about a minute.
Okay. We have adoption. People looking for children and people who want to give their children. It's very noble of them to do that. So we have that adoption going on, and we have child welfare, and we have also counseling. Free services through the state, depending on eligibility and all that. So don't feel afraid to call if there's any need or you feel like you want to ask for assistance. We can redirect if we do not have the services that probably the person is asking for.
And Lutheran Family and Children's Services is really available across here in the St. Louis area. In quite a few places, those resources are available.
Sure.
Brandon, anything else about Lutheran Family and Children's Services you'd like to share today?
I think that Joyce has summed it up well. We also have a school counseling program that helps put school counselors in schools throughout the area.
Well, very good. Well, thank you both for taking time to talk with me this morning and sharing with our listeners your work at Lutheran Family and Children's Services and the support that you offer to students in our community. Thank you for your work. Brandon Heath, Life Skills Facilitator at Lutheran Family and Children's Services, thanks for being our guest today. And Joyce Karaoke, thanks so much for being our guest as well. Life Skills Facilitator and Community Services at Lutheran and Family Children's Services. Joyce, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you for having us.
Coming up in just a little bit, we have our study of the daily New Testament reading. Today, we'll study with Pastor Randolph Schnock from Trinity Lutheran Church in Mena, Arkansas. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.